I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
From Mermaid Palace and me, Caitlin Prest. This is Asking for It, featuring Drew Denny.
Episode 6. Enough. Mom's addiction flares up with the cancer diagnosis. I find vodka in her mouthwash bottle, pills from the internet, piles of credit card bills, and the arrest warrant she got for falling asleep while driving. She's hoarding again.
Goodwill. Garbage.
Do you really need to throw all that out? Those are my fancy flip-flops.
Mom, you have moths.
I have to donate the jacket of the man who broke her ribs with a ladder 10 years ago.
That was Buck's favorite work shirt. He looked so handsome in it.
Buck was an asshole.
And his little butt fit perfectly.
And I have to clean blood off of her nicest dress because she will not let me donate that. I have to take her to the hospital to have her breasts removed. And Dolly is not happy about losing the boobs.
How am I supposed to pull a fast one with no melons?
When we get back home, she wants pain meds.
It's only been 3 hours. You have 3 more hours to go.
She talks about how men won't love her anymore. She cries for men who punched us both in the face.
I miss Buck.
Buck was a psychopath.
I know. I miss him.
Bandages, drains.
Please don't talk about the drain. It's disgusting.
All right, well, I won't talk about it, but I do have to unhook it from your body and empty it out into the sink.
Ugh! This is medieval!
Bath time.
Back so I can wash your rat's nest.
Did you check the water? It was too cold last time.
Well, don't worry. It's boiling now.
Oh, perfect. Boiled alive is the only method I haven't tried yet.
Ass wiping time.
I'll help you wipe?
No!
The things I never prepared to do for my mother.
Are you sure?
No.
When she finally falls asleep, I sneak out. I found a truck driver on Tinder, and she's agreed to meet me at a bar. I nervously open the door to this honky-tonk.
I thought you were catfishing me.
Well, where I live in the big city, I'm generally the most mediocre-looking person in the room, so maybe I should move back home.
We go to some shitty party overlooking a concrete riverbed. We dance close.
You can dance.
We make out.
I could kiss you too.
She takes me back to her truck, and we fuck for her first time in 3 years, and my first time in I don't know how long.
I like your truck. You look good in it.
Fingers okay.
Both of us writhing out pent-up dissatisfaction at our ex-girlfriends. Her ex cheated on her with a man. Mine?
Yeah.
Well, we don't talk about mine. I just relish the feeling of a lesbian's body on me, a butch body, handling my body with care. I sneak back into my mom's house and I feel like a fucking teenager right now. And in my drunken state, I start texting KG.
Are we even friends anymore?
That was weird. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I mean, we're not in love with each other. Like,
I know we
did it that one time, but, like, there were like 7 other people there, so I never really counted.
Those are the thoughts that you're supposed to keep inside.
Do you think Siri gets tired of everybody bossing her around all the time? And I'm taller than my mom now.
What are you even doing right now if you're not in a band with me? Like, what's going on in your life?
I don't even know what's going on in your life. I'm such a bad friend.
Goalie, hi. Hi. Thank you for calling me back. I'm going crazy. How's it going?
It's not going very good.
Honey? You're slurring. That bad?
What are you talking about?
How many drinks bad is it?
Oh, so dozens. I don't know.
Oh, man. I can always tell when you're whispering into the phone and trying so hard not to... Slur. It's okay. You're drunk. What do you want me to do? Send you some Postmates, you some soup, or just some bread? You have, like, a ciabatta there to eat or something?
I just don't, like, even have Postmates in this part of Texas.
So I'm going to have to come and deliver it myself?
Yes, can you deliver the soup? I can't stop throwing up.
Oh, no. Really? Oh, honey, you need a soup and a bread bowl then. Fuck. All right, I'm on my way. I was thinking about you today.
Really?
Yeah, are you going to remember this conversation?
I'm gonna write it down when we finish and then I remember every word.
I was thinking about how that thing that happened the other night before you left that got so out of control that what I needed you to do in that moment was de-escalate. But instead you really poured gasoline on that whole thing, you know what I mean?
I forgot that we made a plan and that the slamming the door was the sign that meant just come hug you, and I forgot.
I shouldn't have to slam a fucking door to get a hug, Goldie. You should just know when I need a hug. It's like, I look at you sometimes and it seems like you're afraid of me. And then, in that moment, if you're expecting me to be scary, I'll show up for that. So if you want good things out of me, can you do me a favor and start expecting them?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I'm gonna remember this tomorrow. And when I come home, I'll do better.
When are you coming home?
The nurse, I have to change the drains for like 10 days and then I can leave.
Well, I miss you. 10 days is a long time. Fuck. Okay, well, it is what it is, right? I love you. Put a bucket next to your bed. Try and get it all out tonight. Take some Advil. Call me when you wake up, okay?
Babe.
And then I get sick.
It's pink.
The morning sunshine. Painkiller and Gatorade start your day off right.
Oh, I can't move.
Okay, we're watching the client list today, both seasons.
Oh.
Get in bed and order us pizza.
Things start getting better. She allows me to cut her pain pills in half. I learn that warming up her prune juice makes it a little more palatable. My mom's next door neighbor is a 90-year-old named Samantha. Sometimes she comes over to watch Rachel Maddow.
How big are you going to go with the implants?
As big as Uncle Sam can afford. Prune? I just cracked open a fresh bag.
Oh, yeah, don't mind if I do.
They chew, staring at Rachel, their teeth turning black.
I love Rachel Maddow. She is very smart for a lesbian.
Rachel Maddow is the only reason my mom took my coming out well, I must say.
It's hard to fall in love when you have no more hormones. But I love Brian Williams. Oh, I let him put me to sleep every night.
Since my mom and I share an inability to sleep, we have unslumber parties. When I was a kid, we'd play a game of Uno or go outside and catch fireflies. But since she's all laid up this time, we just stay up watching trashy television.
Pancakes are burning.
He's here. Good. I talked to Nikki. It's on.
Eat your Activia, Mom.
Like all day.
If you don't poop soon, I'm afraid that you're going to explode.
No, I mean, why Goldie? Why did you choose that name?
Well, Grandma called me a chubby snowman, so I didn't really want to think of her every time someone called my name.
But what do you like about Goldie?
I guess I just always loved that story, you know? The little girl who wanders out into the woods. She's so brave.
She's not afraid of bears. I don't know if that's bravery or what.
Well, she asks for what she wants. You know, she doesn't settle for too little or too big. She wants it just right.
My mother hated that story. She said Goldilocks was a glutton. Said she went looking for trouble, storming into someone's house and demanding porridge. Give me the porridge. I want that porridge. My mom said she deserved to be eaten alive.
I think Goldilocks does actually die in the original version. Like, she gets eaten by the bears and then tossed out of the window and impaled on a cathedral spire.
The Catholic Church will get you.
Well, if you're a woman asking for what you want.
Yeah, then you're really asking for it.
It's so fucked up.
That's just the law. So, you gotta live outside the law.
But it still, like, fucks with you. Like, intellectually, I know that it's wrong. But I still think that some part of me believes that I deserve it. You like to be treated like shit.
Well, I didn't teach you that. I always told you you were smart. I told you you could be president.
Yeah. Yes, you did. You did tell me I could be president.
I'm throwing away the used bandages and taking up trash, sorting her medications for the next day, lining up a fresh jar of prune juice. She's been plugged up for about 11 days since the surgery. Must be the pain meds, but I think the prune juice is working because suddenly at 3:30 a.m., here she is yowling at me to carry her to the bathroom. She can't use her arm or chest muscles to propel herself out of bed, so she is screaming at me to take her to the toilet. I sprint to her room, pick her up, and I'm racing to the bathroom when my mother releases her bowels in my arms, a mere 16 inches from the commode.
You're gonna be such a good mom.
The next morning, I take my mom to her cancer survivors group. They ask that no caretakers attend, probably so they can complain about us. In the hallway, I see some pamphlets about intimate partner violence and a group of women gathering. And I just... I don't remember anything between seeing that literature and suddenly finding myself seated in a circle of women in their 80s and 90s. I mean, we're in the breast cancer wing of a senior care center, after all. And the moderator is just smiling at me. It's kind of strange, actually, how happy she seems to be to have a newcomer in the domestic violence group.
Hi, I'm Joanne, and I'm a survivor of violence.
What am I doing here? I don't belong here. What are these people going to think of me? They're going to think I'm a battered woman. I'm not. Well, that's not me. I mean, that's not me. Before I can get up and run, I'm asked to share first.
Will be open until
11:30. A moment, an image, a fight, something I'm struggling with, something I can't get out of my head, something I keep replaying and need to air out in the hopes that I can release it.
My girlfriend pulled a gun on me and pointed at my face. She told me to get the fuck out of her house and said she'd kill me if I ever came back home.
And I look around at this circle of women who, if I saw them coming out of church, I'd assume they'd think I'm going to hell for being some kind of sexual deviant. I brace myself for them to judge me, to admonish me. What were you doing in that house of sin? Why didn't you leave? But instead, not a one of them even blinks an eye. They just all go and nod their heads in unison, as if I'm singing a song they all know by heart and they're just jamming to the beat. Lucy's husband put her head in the oven.
He tied the kids to the bed, too. And when he lit the match, I thought we were all done for.
He dragged me across the street by my hair and offered me to the neighbor.
It wasn't actually all the beatings that wore me out. It was the names he'd call me.
He held me over the stove, and I turned up the burner, just hoping he'd catch fire.
He made me think I was the devil. That's been the hardest part, even after the 40 years.
And here I am nodding, too. I know this song. These women and me, we're in the same band. We sing the same tune. These women are my peers. These women are my sisters. The sisterhood of cracked ribs and rope burn and a pupil full of loaded gun. One of the women takes me aside at the end and tells me to find some help at home.
I saw you, I heard you, and when I was in your situation, it was fucking hard. Somebody came up to me after the meeting and asked me to promise them that I was going to get help. I mean, let's face it, we can't do this alone. I mean, I've learned over 20 hard years that people try, on average, 7 times to leave. We need community, and we need a witness, and we need accountability. Without support, without people rooting for us, can you promise me, just promise me that you'll get help?
Okay, sure.
I will do that. I just, I gotta go get my mom, so I have to leave now, but thank you.
I take my mom home and warm up her prune juice, and we lay in bed together. We finish the client list, which, if you haven't seen it, it's that Lifetime show where Jennifer Love Hewitt plays a good-hearted masseuse who gives hand jobs to support her children after their deadbeat father ditches them. It's basically Christian softcore porn, and it's my mom's favorite show. And when she falls asleep, Activia in hand, I tuck her in and turn out the lights, and I pray to a god I do not believe in that Dolly could please, 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 please get her boobs back. Suddenly I'm 13 again. I'm kissing Sleeping Beauty goodbye, and I'm running away to the big city just like my mom had run away to Dallas. I'm saying that I'm gonna be somebody, just like Dolly had sworn that she was gonna be. Suddenly I'm looking at my mother, and I might as well be looking in the mirror.
What are you trying to do, Goldie? End up like me?
I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of 6 darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. You understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh.
Hi.
Hi.
Special delivery.
Oh my god.
I brought you some soup. I don't know. It seems to help people when they don't feel well. I brought a lot. There's enough for both of you. Is your mom here?
Thank you. Yeah, she's we just changed her bandages. So she
How's she doing?
How did you get here?
I took a plane and then a car and then another car.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
How did you get here?
She's resting, so I can't have
a
visitor.
Is it a bad time right now? Come on, what, Goldie? I came all this way. You're not going to invite me in? Not even going to let me use the bathroom?
My mom's not feeling well. She's still... I feel like you should go.
Are you fucking kidding me? You're driving me fucking insane. I haven't slept. I haven't ate. I came all the way here to see you. Are you closing the door on me?
What if you get a hotel room and then call me and tell me where you are?
I'm not going to get a fucking hotel room.
I can go there.
Come on,
She's just, like, really not doing well because of surgery, so I need to, like, give her some peace and... Quiet. She just had
this isn't how I wanted to meet your mom.
I know.
This isn't how I wanted this to go.
We can do a redo. But just give her a minute, you know, and then can you just close
the door? Why did you set this up like this? Why didn't you...
Can you... I have to close the door. I'm so sorry.
Goldie!
I'm really sorry.
You haven't even answered my phone calls. You're blocking me. How are you gonna...
I have to go. Call me when you get to a hotel.
You take the steak knife. I'll take the long lighter.
What are you going to do? Light a prayer candle?
I'm going to set her ass on fire.
My mom and I sit by the front door with steak knives in our hands and wait till Taylor drives away. This isn't the first time in my life that my mother has handed me a flimsy piece of flatware to protect myself. But it's got to be the last. I call the therapist from the LGBT center, the one that I walked out on. And I tell her that my mom's got cancer, my mom had surgery, my mom had double mastectomy, and I'm caretaking for my mom. What happened in that group therapy session today? And I tell her I'm feeling really overwhelmed.
And I was wondering if I could, am I allowed to call you?
I'm glad that you're reaching out. I wonder if there's a place where you can go outside to... continue this conversation.
There's a little patch of grass out by the creek. I guess I could go lay down there.
Well, just tell me when you're out there. Now I just want you to take a deep breath. Okay? So like a really deep inhale. And when you exhale, I want you to give all that pain back to the earth. Okay? The earth compost your pain. Give it all back to the earth.
Really,
let's do it one more time. Inhale.
I start to feel a little better. Maybe I will survive this. And then I just hear Samantha, our 90-year-old neighbor, slowly coming outside on her walker.
Gator! Jump!
Gator!
Oh my god, I can't... I was sitting in my chair. I could see you out the window. I didn't think I was going to get up in time. Oh, I can't. I was worried about you. Did you make it? Are you okay? Did you see he was right next to you? Oh, my God.
Thank you. You saved my life.
No, sweetheart. Just want to make sure you're okay. You can't just lay down next to the creek like that. That's a gator creek.
I didn't know. I forgot about the gators.
You didn't know. That's okay. Do you want a marijuana gummy bear?
Oh. No, thank you. I think I'm feeling enough.
Samantha slowly rattles back inside, and I stay out by the creek alone, hearing little gator splashes and rattlesnakes. I'm surrounded by predators, but I don't feel scared. I know I need to go home. I'm gonna make it out of this alive.
This has been the sixth episode of Asking for It, a serialized fiction podcast brought to you by CBC Podcast and the audio art company Mermaid Palace. If you want to know more about the show or see pictures of Goldie and her universe, you can go to mermaidpalace.org or follow us on Instagram at mermaidpalaceart. You can also check out CBC Podcasts at cbc.ca/podcasts or follow them on Twitter and Instagram at CBC Podcasts. The show is written by Drew Denny and produced by me, Caitlin Prest. Audio production by Ryder Alsop. We had help from Phoebe Hunter on production and sound design in the first trimester of this project. Sound design by me, with Harry Nazan and Ryder Alsop. Harry Nazan did the final mix. We worked on it at Apollo Studios in Toronto. You heard original scoring by Christina Gaillard. Kimmy Robertson is Dolly, Drew Denny is Goldie, Christina Gaillard is KG, Mel Shimkovitz is Taylor, Megan Osterosen is Goldie's therapist, Emily Anderson is Dolly's neighbor, Samantha, Anna Abello is Dolly's home nurse, Patsy, Ed Valentine is Texas Tinder Butch, and Suzanne Goldberg is the domestic violence therapy group moderator. You heard music by Drew and Christina's real live band, Hips. Go to showusyourhips.com to support their music. From CBC Podcasts, our executive producer is RF Nurani, the senior producer is Tanya Springer, and our digital coordinating producer is Judy Z. Gu. If you identify with Goldie or Taylor, if you hear yourself or your partner in the relationships represented on this show, we want you to know that there are resources available to help you. In North America, there are a few programs specifically treating LGBTQ victims, survivors, and perpetrators of intimate partner abuse. Reach out to the Los Angeles LGBT Center at lalgbtcenter.org. They're one of the only programs of their kind and offer sliding scale and free crisis counseling, as well as safety planning services to victims of domestic violence. The National Domestic Violence Hotline is available by phone at 1-800-799-SAFE. Or can be reached online, where you can get help without saying a word out loud by chatting with their care advocates at www.thehotline.org. For anyone who's been diagnosed with cancer or is caring for someone through cancer, we highly recommend finding a group. Community can really help. www.cancersupportcommunity.org or call 1-888-793-9355. Thanks for listening. Take care. The two-woman band in Asking For It is a real live band. The duo is Drew Denny and Christina Gaillard, aka Goldie and KG. Their band is called Hips in Real Life. They put the music of the show and the songs that inspired them on a CBC music playlist. You can go to cbc.ca/listen or the CBC Listen app and click on Playlists. You'll find Asking For It there.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.